thank the Lord. We thank the Lord. For he is friendly, and his grace endureth forever. It endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Also my soul. Never forget what he has done for you. What he has done for you. The might is his. Almighty is our God. His doings are wise, and his grace is new every morning. Every morning new. Great is the Lord. Yes, great is the Lord. His name is holy. And the earth is full of his glory. Full of his glory. Worship him. Worship the Lord in high reverence. His name is mentioned by us. In high reverence, his name is mentioned by us. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord in joyful choirs. For he hears our songs of praise. Our songs of praise. Loudly praise the glory of Jesus. The angelic world praises him. The crown brings the purple garment. Crown him. Crown him. Crowns him the ruler of the world. Crown him. Crown him. Crown him, Lord of all.
Oh.
crown him Lord of all. You sinners of the world, the hero of victory calls you. The hero of victory calls you. Praise him for his agony on the cross and crown him. Crown him. Crown him Lord of all. One day we will sing the song of the bride in the heavenly home, in the heavenly home. Then it sounds loud through all domains. Oh, crown him. Crown him. Crown him, Lord of all. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, to this special meeting from Zurich, we greet all worldwide who you are now listening live via the internet in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are dearly thankful to the Lord for this last time of grace, of preparation, grateful that we found grace before God to hear his precious, holy word of the hour from a commissioned mouth. I believe it is the prayer of all of us that the Almighty continues to bless the carrier of the word, strengthens him and keeps him, and that he upholds him through his right hand. What a privilege, what a grace, that we don't lack the spiritual food, and that even in this difficult time, we can still hear live broadcasts everywhere where his word is heard today. May the Lord be present and bless in a special way. May the Lord finish his work of redemption himself, which he started, calling out now the last ones, and confirm his word in a mighty way. Before I pray, I would like to read a word from Luke 11, verse 1 to 13. Luke chapter 11 from verse 1 to 13. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said unto them, Who of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? So far this precious and holy word of God. In verse 1 we have read that a disciple said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. The petition of the disciples is also our desperation. Lord, it doesn't work without prayer. We cannot pray properly. Can you help us? Lord, teach also us to pray. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, with a grateful heart, we look together up to you, from where our help comes. We thank you for your eternal love, faithfulness and mercy that was granted to us. We thank you so deeply for the election, for the predestination since the foundation of the world, that we can belong to your blood-bought multitude of overcomers by your grace. You are so wonderful. You revealed yourself to us in Jesus Christ. You are a personal God. Lord, we want today have a personal experience with you and also make our personal experiences of salvation. Bless and strengthen in particular your faithful servant and grant that he can speak to us full of the Holy Spirit. Bless and strengthen all our brothers and sisters who all over the earth live in the dispersion, and give them everything what they need so that we can reach the wonderful destination together. Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy perfect will be done in all our lives. In Jesus' holy name, Amen.
Auch ich,
I also would like to welcome all of you very warmly. We are grateful to the Lord, very grateful that we can have these meetings which are broadcasted into all the world. Brother Baumgartner has read a mighty word. We will come back to it later. About the time in which we live, we are all informed daily. All hear the news, and much can be said about it. The best is one says nothing about it. But so much can be said that the end of all things has come very near, and that everything what is now happening really points to it, whether it is the climate change, whether all the other things which are taking place. Who would have thought on one day 37 degrees above zero, 2 days later 13 degrees, such a difference in 2 days. And if we then listen to the international news, on one side there's drought, on the other side floods. The sea levels are rising, and it was already reported how many cities shortly from now will be underwater, not only Venice. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing more left to us but to remain sober and normal. But our eyes have been opened, our ears hear, and we have understood what our Lord has said. When you see these things coming to pass, and if our Lord has said that before his return, it will be as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, one would prefer not to mention anything about it. But with great pain, I still want to say, why is there no advertising for the family, for the marriage? Why for things which do not belong into one's daily life? And if one then hears in the news that even in Israel, on the flagpole, a rainbow flag was hanged to show the diversity of the sexual scopes. And brothers and sisters, it is just incomprehensible. Advertising for things is being done which simply are not part of the daily life. But we don't want to judge about this. It just hurts. And we are reminded on the words of our Lord that we may lift up our heads, for our redemption is drawing near. We are grateful to God with all our hearts. We don't judge. All people have the right to do what they do, to believe what they believe, that what is written in the Bible is only addressed to the believers who accept that what is written in the Bible for them personally and believe it and put into practice. But if one then moves to the other area, this precious, holy Bible is now translated into 704 languages worldwide and available in all dialects, everywhere. There is no one left on earth who could say, I don't know what is written in the Bible. And yet, one has to say with great pain that already in the early church, deviations from the original took place, that already interpretations were presented. And if one then looks into the first 6 centuries after Christ, of all what went on, whether with Polycarp, whether with Irenaeus, whether with Martin, I on purpose say not Saint Martin, because I don't believe in saint, but only in a Martin and whoever they were. What doctrines they brought up to the Council of Nicaea, and already there it started directly to present doctrines which hurt the people of Israel and which also hurt God, in particular that God exists in 3 eternal persons, that the Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal, and whoever reads the whole Old Testament will read all the wonderful promises. I will be Father unto him. He shall be Son unto me. I will make him the firstborn. And then all the promises. Thou art my beloved Son. Today I have begotten thee. All the wonderful promises in reference to the birth, yes, to our Redeemer. God, from the very beginning, he announced what he intends to do. And whoever has read the whole Old Testament, he knows that not a single time a prophet, a man of God, spoke of a Father in heaven or has prayed to a Father in heaven. Whoever has read the Old Testament, he knows very precisely that nobody spoke of a second person, of a son who shall be in heaven. For me, it is unbelievable and connected with great pain that the plan of salvation of our God was so misunderstood, and that all the scriptures were misinterpreted. As already said, what good is it if the Bible is available in 704 languages, if it is then interpreted in more than 704 directions to and fro, and we have approximately 350 Christian denominations, and all are interpreting the Bible in their own way. All have their statements of faith and refer nevertheless to the Bible, although they have actually nothing in common with that what God has said in His holy word. They just introduced their own doctrines. What shall one say to it? We live in the time in which the promises before the return of Jesus Christ have to come to fulfillment. Yes, they come to fulfillment. And God has given the promise that He would send a prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, and that the task of this man of God would be therein to restore all things, to bring everything back to the beginning, to the faith of the apostles, to the doctrine of the apostles, to the baptism of the apostles, everything as it was in the early church. So it must be restored in the church of the living God. And brothers and sisters, we are therefore not ashamed to mention the name of Him whom God has used in a special way in our time. As Martin Luther is mentioned, John Wesley, William Booth, John Smith, as all the people are mentioned, Calvin and whoever they were, brothers and sisters, so God had the right in our time to speak out a commission, a sending to fulfill his own promise. He of course had the right at the first coming of Christ to take care for that it was spoken out what happened then, and the supernatural accompanied the message at the first coming of Christ. The angel Gabriel came down, spoke to Zacharias, spoke to Mary. The supernatural took place from the very beginning of the New Testament. For me, today, it's mainly about that as certain as John the Baptist was the fulfillment of Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight a path for our God. John the Baptist knew precisely which scriptures apply to his ministry and have been fulfilled through his ministry. Also, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger before me. But here is the big question. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had their interpretations. They had the Torah. They were reading in it with all their heart and with all their soul. But they had no revelation by the Spirit of God. They had the dead letter. They had the written word. And the written word have today billions of people on earth. But that is no longer important. Today, we are grateful for the written word, for the Old and for the New Testament. But brothers and sisters, the written word must become the revealed, the living word. The promises which are written here must be revealed unto us, and their fulfillment we must and will experience by His grace. Let us come back now to the word of introduction, which Brother Baumgartner has read. And precious brothers and sisters, before we read this word of introduction, I would like to read another verse first, which Brother Baumgartner told me on the telephone. And I ask that it is read now from Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. As often as your orders were given, the German Bible, I did eat them, and thy instructions were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Thanks be to the Lord. with all our hearts. This word applies to me as often as your orders were given to me. I have done what you commanded, what you, O Lord, commanded me. As often as you, O Lord, hast given an instruction, I have obeyed it. I have every instruction of the 15 instructions which the Lord has given to me personally with an audible voice. They were given every instruction precisely I fulfilled. Every time with holy respect that the voice of the Lord has in it. Brothers and sisters, you cannot imagine it. What reverence and respect the voice of the Lord has brought about in me every time anew. There's really nothing left for one than to do what the Lord commanded. So I look back to all the many years in which the Lord has given instructions, commanded what shall be done. And I may say it with a good conscience before the Lord God. I have every time in holy reverence done what the Lord commanded me. And until this day, to me, the commission to go from city to city, from country to country, and to bring the message, it is holy to me, because the Lord has given the commission. Everything goes back to the 11th of June, 1933, when the Lord gave to Brother Branham the direct instruction, the commission to bring the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. We will not go into all these details every time, but the ministry that is going on now happens in the direct commission, in the direct will of God for the church before the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Also for this, we are grateful that God, in this time of need, that's how one could call it, the year 2020, and also now 21, are for us as believers times of testing as never before. One can not have any gatherings like in all the years. All the regulations shall and must be kept and obeyed. And we are all groaning in this situation. And recently, I have been reminded of the word time and again. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and self-control. Just think of it. The whole world would never have heard of the message as it is now the case. I personally have been at least in 165 countries. But now, all can hear in all countries, and we have taken care of that more than 1,500 equipments we could buy, so that all brothers, also in those countries in which the transmission possibilities and the equipment for it was not yet available, that all could be equipped. And now, really, on every Wednesday, on every Saturday and Sunday, worldwide, they can hear, and thus the preparation takes place by His grace. The Lord knows what the future will bring. But one thing is certain. The Lord Himself will finish His work of redemption. And as we have sung many times the German song, although I don't know the way, you know it well. You know the time. Your plan is ready. Let us come back to the word of introduction. And I ask that we read verse 1 again. We read from Luke 11, from verse 1 to 4. Luke 11, 1 to 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Let us stop here for a moment. Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Brothers and sisters, this is also our desire. Teach us to pray. That's how a hymn writer sings. Teach us to pray. Teach us to supplicate. That we can come into the presence of God with prayer. Prayers which God can hear, prayers which God can answer. Teach us to pray. But not only this, teach us thy word. Teach us in all areas. It starts with prayer. And then all areas are included into the prayer. Up, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us read on. Verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. In the Aramaic text, it says, lead us that we don't fall into temptation. Thanks be to the Lord for his precious and holy word. Brothers and sisters, on every Sunday, the Lord's Prayer is prayed in countless churches. But who responds to the content? Who was spoken to in what is written therein and what was said in it? Whom did it address? Who responds to it? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is the name of the Father which shall be hallowed? Brothers and sisters, our Lord has said, I have revealed thy name unto them whom thou gavest me out of the world. The name of the Father is of course the name of the Son. That's how it is already in the earthly. As your daddy was called, so you are also called. I am Frank because my daddy was Frank. And if we then think about it, what the Lord said in the Great Commission, in the summary, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then don't stop there, but taking the commission right to the carrying out and see how the Great Commission was carried out, that namely Peter has taken that name in which God revealed himself to us as Father in the Son and through the Holy Spirit. In this precious and holy name, all believers, since the day of Pentecost, since the founding of the New Testament Church, were baptized. Therefore, Peter could say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What good is it for the billions of people if they customarily pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, and do not care at all that the will of God shall and must be done on earth as it is in heaven. But that's how it is written, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if we then, brothers and sisters, think about that our Lord in his prayer, especially in the Garden of Gethsemane, there he expressed to teach us how we shall pray, not my, but thy will be done. Let us still read 2 or 3 scriptures which pertain to the prayer and what goes with it, please. Matthew 15, verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Here we have a very serious warning. In vain they pray. In vain they worship. In vain, because they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. You can go from church to church. All have their own statutes. And there is written as a headline, in vain. In vain they pray the Lord's Prayer. In vain they speak about it. In vain they hear it. Simply in vain, because they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. He who really prays with all his heart, he prays, thy will be done. He prays, reveal unto me thy will, which is written in your word. He prays, lead me by your spirit into all truth. Oh, brothers and sisters, what has happened to the church, to Christianity? I already mentioned it earlier. Everything has taken its course. And if we look on the 2000 years since Christ, since the founding of the church, of all what was invented on statutes. Yes, let us go to the dogma of the Trinity. Just think of it. From the year 321, discussions and again discussions. And in the year 386, the Holy Spirit was declared to be the third person, but only in the year 675, the Trinity was declared to be a dogma, declared to be a dogma. So, to an infallible truth for the Roman Church, but not for the church of the living God. My brothers and sisters, here everything is written for the church of the living God. Here no dogma is written, no creed. Here is nothing written, but only what God has to say to us. You can not put yourselves into my position. Also, church history I studied, and everything what goes with it. And the Jews, the people of Israel, they didn't go through life with open eyes either. Also then, the Lord had to say, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. And then, the confirmation, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on His name. Precious brothers and sisters, was it then still necessary to write the Jerusalem Talmud? Was it then still necessary to write the Babylonian Talmud? Everything written around God and His Word, around the Old and New Testament. This rabbi said that, and this said this and that. And that's exactly what happened to Christianity. All have their creeds, their statements of faith, everything written. For what? A testament is of course completed. Who wants to add something to a last will? Here we have the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. And then, at the end of the New Testament, here in Revelation 22, from verse 19, whoever adds something to the words of the prophecy of this book, it is absolutely not permitted to add something or to take something away from it. To whom can you say this today? Everyone is offended if one preaches God's holy word. But brothers and sisters, at all times there were true believers before the Reformation. After the Reformation, there were true believers at all times. But the direct restoration of all Bible doctrines, of all the biblical practice, took place in our time. Men of God had the revelation of the Word of God. But let us say it once more. In our time, not partial truths were revealed, but Brother Branham could say, as the Apostle Paul, I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God, from A to Z, about every Bible subject, about conversion, about repentance, about the new birth, about the Spirit baptism, about the gifts of the Spirit, about the ministries, about the offices in the church, about marriage, about the women, about the men. Everything was written down. We just need to read it and to take it to heart. Do we still have one or two scriptures which we can read? We read from John, chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. To this we say Amen. God is spirit. The woman at the well has said, where shall we worship? On the holy mount or in Jerusalem? And the answer was, God is spirit, and the true worshippers, not the worshippers in general, but the true worshippers, the true children of God, who are truly born again, who have received divine life, who as sons and daughters of God are already here on earth and just wait for the changing of their bodies, the true worshippers, not who in general on a Sunday customary go to church. They always say the same and go afterwards home again. But the true worshippers who experienced God personally, their forgiveness, their redemption, that what happened on the cross of Calvary, who received and accepted it, yes, who experienced the adoption as sons, who can say with a true heart, Our Father, who art in heaven, who can say Father to me? Of course, only two sons and two daughters. No one else on earth. Who can say Father to God? Only he who was begotten by the Spirit, who was born again unto a living hope, who made his personal experience of salvation, and who found grace in the sight of God. So, may God give grace, dear brothers and sisters, that we are not part of the general worshippers who are scattered in all denominations, but belonging to the true worshippers who worship God in spirit and in truth. Also this must still be said. Who prays, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He of course must know that our Lord has said, My food is that I do the will of him who has sent me. O Lord, teach me to pray. My God, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Do we have another scripture? We read from Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, lest any of you should turn out to be left behind. Yes, brothers and sisters, a very, very serious word, lest any of you turns out that he is left behind at the rapture. For it is written, those who were ready went in with him to the marriage supper. Please, let me say it to you in all clarity, as certain Brother Branham has seen the perfected multitude in glory. All were young. And one sister, that's how he testifies in his testimony, was over 92 years old when she became a believer and experienced the grace of God and everything what the Lord has prepared for us. And when she passed by Brother Branham, she said to him, can you remember there and there it happened? At that time I was, and look at me today, all in the bloom of their youth, whether they were 105 here or 90, no matter, in the resurrection, we all will be in the blooming of our youth. And this multitude, I, Brother Frank, have seen this redeemed multitude, which was raptured, I have seen with these eyes. Brothers and sisters, you cannot imagine what it means to be taken out of the body and nevertheless to feel you are in the body and looks, although one is outside of the body. Also I have seen the young multitude, really 17 or 18, nobody was over 20, all young, all had different hair colors, all had shining white garments, and I knew now the rapture takes place. I of course partly reported my experiences, but let me say in closing, this ministry is not here that people only come to know what God has done through the ministry of Brother Branham, not only to know of his sending of the 11th of June 33, of the 7th of May 46, of the 20th January 1950, of all the supernatural experiences, who not only have heard that he would bring a message that should forerun the second coming of Christ. This is divine reality. The scripture was herewith fulfilled. The original, holy gospel, the message of salvation of our God was preached unto all nations and tongues. And therefore, please, let it be said to you today, the true worshippers, may God, dear brothers, dear sisters, dear preachers, may God make such people out of all and in all who have a personal experience of salvation with God, who can say with all their heart, Lord, teach us to pray, and then thy will be done, and thy will is that the true worshippers worship God in spirit and in truth, that no strange doctrine, no interpretation, nothing and again nothing could be found, but only that what is written in the divine testament. With God there is no mixing. I believe that God has given us this precious word, which Brother Baumgartner has read for the introduction, that it was determined by God like this. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us in all areas. Yes, teach us so that all are taught by God, and that we line up with the word and with the will of God as the true worshippers, worshipping God in spirit and in truth. To him, the only God, be the glory and the praise for the ministry of the prophets, for the ministry of the apostles, for the Old and New Testament, for the ministry of Brother Branham, and for that what God is doing right now all over the earth. The blessing of the Almighty God rest upon all of you in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer. Lord our God, we look up to the throne of grace. You make no empty words. Today, you personally spoke with us. And our prayer is, sincerely and honestly, teach us to pray. Be merciful to all of us. Bless your blood-bought multitude. Perfect us. May your will be done. And we thank you once again for the finished work of redemption. We thank you for the precious blood of the new covenant, for the precious and holy word, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. I say it once again, in the name of the Lord, believe with all your heart, and you will be blessed with every blessing which God has given us in Christ Jesus, up to the completion at the return of Jesus Christ. The Lord God, worldwide, in all peoples and tongues. May he be with all of you, in particular with all ministering brethren, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I was happily told of heaven, of the beautiful city high up there, where the redeemed sing and praise, and one day, soon I will be there. Hallelujah. I want to sing very loud. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven. And there is a happy ring in my heart. Because I know soon I will be there. And I hear about the city without trouble, without suffering and hardship, without tears. Yes, there goes a happy longing. And one day, soon, I'll be there. Hallelujah. I want to sing very loud. All cares are gone, and we rejoice in the heavenly valley. Oh, my friend, very soon I will be there. The golden crown, a garment white as snow, where we will receive our reward. One day, very soon, I'll be there. Hallelujah. I want to sing in the Spirit and hear the angel's song, rejoicing in the heart. For I know very soon I'll be there.